A dean was leading a faculty meeting, excuse me, when suddenly an angel appeared in a flash of lightning, and the angel tells the dean, because of your life of kindness and unselfishness behavior, the Lord will give you your choice of infinite wealth or infinite wisdom. Without hesitating, the dean says, I want infinite wisdom. And then done, the angel disappears in a flash of lightning. Everybody's staring at the dean now that he has this little glow above his head. And finally, one of his colleagues leans in close and says, whispers, tell us something wise. And the dean looks at everybody and says, I should have taken the money. Wouldn't it be nice to have more money? Most people believe if they had more money, if they won that $1.5 billion lottery, that all their problems would be solved. They would be happier if they had more money. But the Bible is very clear. It's not how much money you have, but how you use it that determines the quality of your life. A couple weeks ago, we talked about the power of humility and how it unleashes the power of God in your life. Today, we're going to talk about the power of giving. It's interesting, the concept of humility and giving, these qualities are not desirable qualities of the world today. Today, people think that this world is built on by makers and takers. People who make things and take and build. But God says, no, that's not how I want you to live your life. I want you to be humble, and I want you to become a giver. A giver just like Jesus Christ. We just celebrated Christmas. Christmas is about God giving to us the greatest gift in the world, Jesus Christ. As I've been mentioned outside on the lawn, we've been giving out your offering statements. We appreciate your faithful giving. You can use these offering statements to prepare your tax return. My tax return is already done. I'm ready to file and get my refund. We appreciate your thoughtful and gracious giving. And so today, because we're giving out the offering statements, I thought, you know, maybe it's a good time to talk about giving and why do we give? I don't talk about it all the time, but I felt led by the Lord to talk about it today. So Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. The way you give to others, by that measure, God will give to you. Do you want to be blessed in this life? Do you want to be blessed in the next life? Then God says, become a giving Christian. The way you give to others, the way you react and work with others is the way God will give to you. Giving has to do a lot more, with a lot more than money. We give of our time. We give of our talents and our treasures. But today we're going to kind of take it from the treasure point of view, because how you use your money is tangible proof of your faith. So our first thought on our outline, if you're going to take out your outline, number one is your money reveals two things. Two things. The first thing it reveals is where your heart is. If I want to know what's important to you, I just have to look in your checkbook. If I want to know what's important to you, I just have to look at your credit card statement to see what you're spending money on. If you look at mine, Bass Pro Shop, Cabela's, you know, Sportsman's Warehouse, you know I'm into fishing. Maybe I look at yours and I see that, oh, you know, you love to eat out all the time and eat out at different restaurants. How you spend your money reveals where your heart is. Matthew 6:19. Do not store for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is there, your heart will be also. The problems in life can be traced to man's pursuit of earthly treasure. Consequently, their heart ends up in the wrong place. If you're pursuing earthly treasure, your heart ends up in the wrong place. Now, what do you think? How much money do you think? What do you think is the highest spending of your entertainment money? People have disposable income, entertainment money. Where do they spend it? Movies or video games? Look at this chart. Next slide. Gee, what's number one? Lottery tickets, $70 billion. Far more than sports tickets, books, video games, movies, music all combined. What does that say about the United States of America? Where is our heart? What are we putting our faith in? What are we putting our trust in? It says a lot about our country. A life built on earthly treasures, pursuing the wrong things, will lead us into darkness. If you think that a lottery ticket will solve all your problems, brothers and sisters, you're headed the wrong way. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to buy a lottery ticket. You know, if you have extra entertainment money, you want to buy one, I have no problems with that. But if you win, you have to tie it to the church. Okay, if you win 1.5 million, billion, I want, I don't know what 10% of that is, but it's a lot of money. But if you think you buy because you think it's going to solve all of your problems, you have a problem. If you're down to your last bucks and you buy a lottery ticket to save you, you've got a problem. Where are you pursuing? What are you seeking? What earthly treasures? A life built on storing earthly treasures will be wasted. What is important to you, treasures on earth or treasures in heaven? The second thing we do, we see your money reveals if you have been a good steward. Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Everything belongs to God. Everything you have belongs to God. One day you will die and you'll leave it behind. It still belongs to God because you can't take it with you. We are stewards. We are managers of God's household, of God's resources. A steward is a servant who is responsible for handling the resources of the master's household and his business. And he did it for the master's benefit and profit. A steward is simply a manager. A lot of people feel that they cannot give to the church because they are poor managers of money. They have no money. They say Americans live at 110% of their income. Well, how does that happen? Because we use credit cards. We buy cars with loans, and we buy more expensive cars than we should with loans, or we buy a bigger house than we should, and we finance our lifestyle with debt. Trust me, if you live at 110% of your income off debt, you cannot give to God. You're not a good steward. You're not managing your money well. God says, learn to be a good steward. Learn how to manage your life and your money. Take a Financial Peace University course. Come and meet with me. I used to be a CPA. I can help you and teach you how to manage your money. I used to charge people $400 an hour. I'll do it for free for you. But if you feel that my advice is not worth anything to you, I'll charge you $400 an hour. And then maybe you'll listen to me. You know, that's how my clients think. They think it's worthwhile because they're paying me. Understand, giving generously does not mean giving everything away. We work for three reasons. We work to provide for our families. We work to enjoy our life and the fruit of our labor. And we work to give, to be able to give and help those in need. Ephesians 4:28. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. God's plan is that you manage the resources he has given you in a spiritually wise way that is profitable to the kingdom of God. So let's go on to our second point. Being generous isn't about how much you give. Being generous is all about your attitude for giving. Is your attitude with your material possessions, is it all about me? I'm going to spend it on me. It's all about what I want. Or is your attitude all about God and what God wants you to do with what he has given you? 2 Corinthians 8:12. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable. If we willingly give to God, the gift is acceptable. According to what one has, not according to what he does not have. We don't give to impress anybody. We give to honor God with willingness. And so if someone gives more than you, it doesn't matter to you. If someone gives less than you, you're not better than them. We give because the willingness is there. The gift is acceptable based on what you have, not on what you don't have. Generosity isn't about your wealth. It's about your willingness. God does not want you to give unless you're willing to give. You want to give to help others and to honor God. So I ask you, are you a hoarder of your material possessions, or are you a giver? How many of you ever watched that show, Hoarders, on TV? You've seen it, right? Are hoarders, you know, they live in a house full of stuff. Are they happy people? No, they're not. They're miserable. And the more miserable they are, they the more they hoard. People that come and help them, that give of their time to help them, those are happy people. Those are people who have joy because they're helping and they're giving. Number three on our outline says, our giving is an act of worship. Perhaps the most powerful text in the Old Testament concerning giving and its connection with worship is found in Malachi 3:8. Malachi 3:8. Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you, God? In tithes and offerings, you are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. They're not bringing in their tithes and their offering. Bring the whole tithe in to the storehouse, God says, that there may be food in my house. Test me on this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. They were robbing God. They were not bringing the tithes and the offerings that were required by the law, by the tithes and offerings that came from the blessings that God gave them on this earth. Another passage says that when they did bring in their animal sacrifices and their gifts, they didn't bring in the best. They brought in blind animals, you know. They brought in lame animals or animals with defects, which is against the law. They didn't bring God their best. They brought God the least, or they brought God their worst. Do you give God the first of your fruits? Do you give to God first? Or are you like some of those who they pay all their bills and they pay all the expenses, the mortgage, the rent, utilities, stuff like that. They pay their credit card. And then with what's left, they say, well, I'm going to give it to God. You know, $3.52. You know, is that giving God your best? Do you think God is impressed by that? And so God gives them a powerful challenge. He says, bring the whole tithe. Test me on this. You want to test God? We're not supposed to test God, but God says, you can test me on this. You become a giver and see how much you will be given. It's not, now people take this passage and they twist it. It's not necessarily talking about material possessions, but all the kingdom spiritual blessings. But trust me on this, if you learn to be a good steward and you learn to give, you'll have more material possessions because you're a good steward. He says, will I not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing there's no room for it in your life? It just pours out of your life. You have so much that I give you. Have any of you been into a dam and you watch them open the floodgates? It's a hose. I mean, so much water. If you were standing in front of it, it would knock you down. God says, test me on this. You can't outgive God. It's a matter of trust. It's a matter of love. It's a matter of gratitude. Now, many people think that the reason we give to this church is because we have bills to pay and we have missionaries and good things to fund, which we do. But that is not the primary reason we have an offering. The offering we take is an act of worship. An instance, a moment in time where you are given an opportunity, you are invited to give something of value to God. Your money. In the old days, you'd give your sheep or your goat. In many ways, the offering is the high point of the service because you're opening your heart. You're opening your head and your hands and giving to God. See, we have a spiritual need to worship. And because most people are hoarders instead of givers, their spiritual life is empty. We give through our offerings. When we give through our offerings, we're able to express our love and devotion to God in tangible ways. Ways that are simple and sincere. You can also give your resources by driving your car to take kids to camp or picking up people to bring them to church. You can open your house for a small group. All your resources can be used by God. Now, there's no story in the scriptures that more vividly connects worship and giving than the story of the wise man who came to see baby Jesus. Matthew 2:11. On coming to the house, the wise men came. They saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. They bowed and they worshipped the Son of God. They traveled many miles to see him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. See the connection? They came in. they bowed down with their hearts and their heads and they worshiped him. And then they presented him their gifts. You know, did they bring broken stuff? A broken cup? A beat up cup? A rock they found on the way? No, they brought the most expensive gifts you could. Gifts of gold, incense, and myrrh. Worship, your giving is an act of worship. Think about that. My giving is an act of worship. Let's go on to our next thought, which is number four. The attitude of giving. What type of attitude, if we're going to give, what type of attitude should we have? God gives us three specific characteristics in 2 Corinthians 9:6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. If you're stingy with your giving, if you're a farmer and you go out into your field, 400 acres of land, you put three seeds in the ground, guess what you're going to get? Not much. You go and you put a seed over 400 acres of land, you'll have a bounty. Each seed will generate 10 to 100 times what that one seed did. If you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. If you sow generously, you will reap generously. Now, I'm not telling you to give everything to God. It is God, but I'm not saying give 100% of your income to the church. Remember? We give to provide for our families, to enjoy our life, and to give. Think of your gifts as preparing the hearts of men to receive the gospel truth. So the first attitude we need to have is it always needs to be thoughtful. Our giving needs to be thoughtful. Verse 7 again, each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give. That means you need to think about what you're going to give. Not because I tell you, because what God has told you and what your heart says. Now, many of you have graduated from college. You're starting to work. You're making more money than you ever made before. Have you thought about what God wants you to do with that money? Maybe you're here today and you've been in church a long time, but you're giving, if you're honest about it, it is not what you can do and what God wants you to do. What will you do with that money? It says you must decide in your heart. You need to think about how much you're going to give and when you give. Don't do it impulsively. Don't do it emotionally. Don't do it because you feel guilt. That has to be willing and thoughtful. Make up your mind. What God has provided determines what you give. If you don't have much, you don't have to give much. If God has given you abundantly, give abundantly. Don't be like those billionaires who finally had to make billions and billions of dollars before they started giving. Then everybody's impressed because they're giving away billions. But I'm like, gosh, you know, did they give when they had little? Were they givers or only givers because they made a lot of money? Deuteronomy 16:17. Each of you must bring a gift in proportion to the way the Lord your God has blessed you. So how much should you give? You know, New Testament doesn't give an amount. But I personally believe that you can give a tithe or 10%. All Christians should be capable of doing that. If you can't do it because your finances are a mess, hey, let's take steps to get your finances cleaned up and in order. Start with a lesser amount. Commit 5% and raise it over the time. But don't be satisfied with where you are at if where you are at is not what God wants you to do. Guess what? You want to be a giver, you have to have a plan. You have to have a written budget. You know, I've been a CPA for many years and done finances, but I never had a written budget. You know, I always said I knew my budget, but I never had a written budget. And then Larry made us go through that Financial Peace University. And then I decided, you know, I'm getting close to retirement and all this. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to have a written, I wrote a budget. And once I wrote the budget down, every dollar, I know where every dollar goes. I can't live without my written budget now. I mean, I look, and you know the reason I look and go a month ahead? Because I can see how much I'm going to save, you know, if I don't go out to eat. You know, I added up how much my out-to-eat expenses were one month. I'm like, oh, man, that's horrible. You know, I got to stop taking my family out to eat. I'm going to go out to eat by myself. You know? And see, it solves that. It knocks off like 80% of the bill. You'd be surprised how much money some of you spend on coffee. You know how much people spend on coffee? I don't drink coffee, so I'm not bad like you guys. But Americans spend $1,092 a year on coffee. Okay? You need to tell your money where to go instead of letting your debt tell you what to do. Giving of your resources includes all your resources. Use your car for God's glory. Use your house for God's glory. Use your laptop and all these things for God's glory. Use your talents and time for God's glory. Here at Northwest, if you looked inside that, when you got your offering statement, we have our budget for 2016 in it. When we receive all the revenue we receive is your giving. We don't get money from the Southern Baptist Convention. No one gives us any money. It all comes from your gifts. We don't keep everything we receive from you. We believe in sharing the gospel and giving proportionately. Look at our next slide. Okay, our total giving for 2015 was $424,000. That's what everything that you have given. Building fund, regular giving. We give to the cooperative program, which is Southern Baptist Cooperative Program, $37,000. We sent that away. That goes to seminaries, to missionaries, preparing VBS materials, all the cooperative work, worldwide work. But we gave to Operation Care to feed the poor, $4,000. Southern Baptist missionaries, that's Lottie Moon, Annie Arms from the Christmas, Easter offering, gave $7,900. We support Grace in China, the Pennies in Taiwan, Tiffany Linden in Philippines, individual missionaries. We're planting a church in Surprise, an Anglo church. We gave them $4,800. And the other is we have a benevolent fund that we give to members, brothers and sisters in our church who are hurting and have need. We do it confidentially. We help them out and a few other things. So we gave $66,000. We didn't keep it. We gave it out to the work of the Lord. That's 15%. We practice what we preach at this church. So think about your giving. Pray about your giving. Make a commitment to give to the Lord. The second attitude we need is it always needs to be voluntary. Our giving should be voluntary. Back to verse 7. Not reluctantly or under compulsion. Don't give out of guilt. Don't give because I'm beating you over the head with it today. Give voluntarily, not reluctantly. You know, reluctantly is when you're crying, I don't want to give, but I'll give, okay. You know, we don't want it. God doesn't want it. Your giving must be willing, an act of faith. Not reluctantly in response to pressure. Never, never give out of guilt. It'll poison your heart if you give with bitterness. I want to give. When I prepare my check and prepare my envelope, I want to give because when I can give the way God has led me to give, it means my life is in a good position. I'm in a good position. My finances are right with God. I'm giving to God. I'm helping the ministry. My life is right. My father always told me that it is better to be in a position to give than to be that guy standing on the street corner with a sign. Right? I'd rather be in a position to be able to give and help people than have to hold up a sign on a street corner. 1 Corinthians 4:2. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. We give voluntarily because we give faithfully. What does that mean, faithfully? It means you believe God's promise and provision. You believe in God's word that He'll open the floodgates. If you don't have faith in God, you won't let go and give. Giving is your tangible proof of faith. You give quietly. You don't tell everybody that you gave $30 billion to this. You give quietly. I don't know what you give. Don't give to impress me. I know what I give. I give because I love God. You give faithfully. When you give faithfully, it means you give in a faithful and dependable manner. You plan your giving. You plan how much you're going to give and when you will give. And then thirdly, the last attitude, always cheerfully. Verse 7, For God loves a cheerful giver. A cheerful giver. Generous people are happy people. God loves a cheerful giver. Generosity increases your happiness. Everybody knows this. The only people who don't know that generosity increases your happiness are people who don't give. Because they're selfish and bitter. The word cheerful in the Bible is a similar word to hilarious. You know, we should laugh. We should have joy when we give. If we can't give hilariously with joy, don't give. Just be a Grinch. You know, be a miser. Be that Scrooge guy. You know, my. When did Scrooge discover what joy was? When he let go and gave. When I was a child, at Christmas time, I remember. It wasn't about what I gave to anybody. It was all about me. What was I going to get for Christmas? I didn't care what I gave my brother. I don't remember a single gift I gave my brother. I think one day I just ran out in the yard, grabbed a rock and wrapped it up and put his name on it. Then he opened it and threw it at me. So, you know, one of my favorite presents when I was little was a Star Trek phaser. And this Star Trek phaser could fire a little disc, you know. Not just one, you could shoot like 20 times, you know. And they put your eye out and all that stuff, and they quit selling those things. But man, I love toys, I love stuff like that. Whenever I got clothes, I was so disappointed. But I wanted toys. I wanted gifts. I wanted everyone to give to me. But that was a long time ago. I was immature. I was self-centered like most children are. Today, I'm a father. I'm a grandfather. My back hurts because I've been throwing my 3-year-old in the air. And when you're 59, you shouldn't be throwing 3-year-olds in the air. Now at Christmas, I don't want anything. I want to give. I want to give presents. I want to watch them receive it and open and unwrap the presents because that's what gives me joy. What happened? I grew up. I stopped being self-centered. I stopped being about me. That's called maturity. Grow up. Learn to give. Acts 20:34. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. This is the Apostle Paul talking. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself, and said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Your giving should never be a burden. It should be a blessing. If it's a burden, you need to have a talk with God. Let's talk about where your life is and what is it center about. If your giving is a burden, it should be a blessing. Do you want a life blessed by God? Be generous with your time and your talents and your tithes. Remember, you cannot outgive God. You need help planning a budget, managing money, getting your life in order. Come and see me. Let's talk. Let's work together. But if you do nothing, if you're not thoughtful about it at all, nothing will change. So I encourage you, brothers, sisters, be thoughtful, be prayerful, be cheerful, be faithful in your giving. Now remember, God is our example. We were made in the image of God. That means God is a giver. God gave to us first. He gave us life when He created us. And then even though we sinned against Him, even though we fell short of the glory of God, God gave us eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ came to this world. He lived a perfect life. But yet He died on the cross to pay our sin debt. Then He rose from the dead to show that He could give us eternal life through His power. Brothers and sisters, are you here today? Have you received that gift of Jesus Christ? We don't want you to start giving to God unless you have first received Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. So today, as we go into our decision time, have you made a decision to trust in Christ as your Savior? Let Christ pay your sin debt. Let Christ bless your life. Let Jesus Christ give you a better future and a better life. Let's pray. Father, we know that You've given to us and we cannot outgive You. We thank You for every good and perfect gift You've given us, our lives, our families, our friends, the ability to work and make a living. We just pray, Father, that we will use all these gifts, that we'll give back to You to glorify Your name, to help those in need, and to show Your love and further Your kingdom. We give as an act of worship, Lord, because we believe in Your promises and in Your word. Father, is there someone here today who needs to finally make a decision about eternity, about their future? I pray that they will say yes Today, I will accept the gift of Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. Commit my life to follow Him all the way to heaven. We worship You. We praise You. We glorify You now. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand as we sing. And if you're ready to make a decision or you have a question, come on forward. Let's talk.